Of course, the context of Jeremiah 35 is that Jeremiah has been preaching to the people of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar has surrounded the city of Jerusalem. He has taken over most of the land of Israel, of Judah. And the final siege is taking place. We know that after 9 years, that siege will end, and the people will there will be a total shortage of food and water, and they will be unable to withhold or hold out anymore against Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to take the city, burn it with fire, destroy the temple. King Zedekiah is going to have his eyes taken out right while he's gazing upon his children, after he sees his children murdered or killed. And taken into captivity, most of the people of the land, one-third will die of pestilence, others will die of the sword. And he's preaching to them to repent. You'd think that under those circumstances, they would repent. But they didn't. And it's in the Bible because it's a message for us. It's a message for us. And if anything could be said, as the judgment of God comes upon the world, as the Lord's coming is soon, it will be said that the people don't hear. But in that context, we have a great chapter in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 35. And we have the context of Jeremiah preaching. Verse 13. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil ways, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. And so, we find a very interesting incident in this situation. Chapter 35, verse 1, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim. Excuse me, I'm all mixed up. What I told you, just forget about the walls of the city. Which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jehazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which is by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land wherein ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for the fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for the fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. And then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have hearkened not unto me. Verse 16, because the sons of Rechab, the son of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment to their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have heard not heard. And I called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Lord, pray that you'll, in a very special way, may your Holy Spirit illuminate the words of the Word of God, fill me with your Spirit to get this great truth in our hearts. May the people of God hearken. And it only can be because of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the great themes of the Bible, almost a forgotten thing, one of the most important themes of the Bible, the most important theme of society, it's called the godly seed. The godly seed. That is one of the most important issues of life. You know, a lot of people have some very modern views of marriage today. And some of them are good and some of them aren't so good, but what's missing is the real sad part. And you know, Adam needed a helpmate. God gave him a helpmate. And God said it was not good that man would dwell alone, and he gave him a companion. But that wasn't really the main issue. The main issue was that God wanted the earth filled with a godly line. That was the main issue. And as you read the book of Genesis, you realize that Cain killed Abel. And for years, the earth only had the ungodly seed. And it wasn't until Seth and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Godly seed. You know, that lasts a long time. You know, two people can fall over each other. That's temporary. But there's descendants go on and on and on and on. We have a very important insight here to the godly seed. We have a very interesting story in the Bible. So Jeremiah, as I said, the Lord told Jeremiah, I want you to get the children of Rahab and Johanan the Rechabite, and I want you to get them into the temple, and I want you to set pots of wine before them. Now, in this case, I believe it was grape juice. It would not have been alcoholic beverage. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 10, very clearly, verse 9 and 10, that no priest was to drink wine or strong drink. And if they did, they would die because God is holy. I believe this was grape juice. And the sons of Rahab said, no, we're not going to drink one drop of that. Not a drop. And besides that, our grandfather, and this goes back 250 years, our grandfather said, whatever, how long back, great, great, great. He says, our grandfather said, no vineyards, no planting crops, no building houses. You're going to live in tents. And you're going to live a nomadic life. And guess what? For 250 years, the Rechabites followed their grandfather's instruction. Now I can hear it. Yep, I can hear it right now. Hey, those aren't even Bible commands. Hey, this man's gone beyond the Bible. This man is crazy. But I want us to note one thing before you make your judgment on the Rechabites. As we see an amazing commendation of God in verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now, sometimes the Bible says it in the opposites, but what's it saying? It says, it's saying that Jonadab will always have a godly seed. Jonadab will always have a godly seed. That's amazing. You know what a godly seed is? Generation after generation after generation after generation. The children know and love and obey God. I was talking to a man. I said, well, how many successful families you find in the Bible? He said, not too many. But what about the family of Rahab? God said that Rahab would always have a godly seed. Can you imagine this? 250 years of a godly seed. Generation after generation after generation. Now, I try to put this together. What is the factors? What are the factors behind this? What is behind this? I start thinking about Jonadab. And why would he set these laws down for his family? And the second issue is, how could it be that his children would obey them? Now, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, Christians have a hard enough time obeying something that's black and white. You understand what I'm saying? They have a hard time. And if you're obeying black and white, you're called a legalist. But here was something far more than black and white. He was telling his children, and they obeyed for 250 years. It wasn't, well, we love our dad and we respect our dad and so we're going to do this. And then the grandchildren say, who was that guy? Who was that guy? Why should we do what he says? You know, we got our own brain. Why should we do that? 250 years. I started thinking about Jonadab. Now, it is tremendous commendation of the children of their spirit of obedience. It's a tremendous commendation of all the descendants of obedience, explicit obedience. I think there's more to it than that. So first of all, let's look at Jonadab. Why would he come up with this idea? No house. Why would he come up with this idea? No house. I thought about Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. The man, the father of faith. And the Bible says this about Abraham. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not, he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Is not there a principle there? Is there not a principle there? Somehow Jonadab understood an issue, a weakness, a problem that people too connected to this world easily lose sight of God's city. We know in the book of Haggai, as the people went back into the land after the captivity, that the temple of God needed to be built. And they stopped building the temple. And in Haggai chapter 1, Haggai says, how come you're building houses with nice, beautiful sealed ceilings, exquisite woodwork? Beautiful, comfortable, and the house of God lays waste. He understood. There's a principle. We sang that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Was that it? Was that the principle? Materialism? Comfort, our treasures on this earth rather than our treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus said, right? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moss and rust doth not corrupt, neither where thieves break through and steal. Is that a principle in the Bible? I was thinking about, as well, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Jonadab would have had this passage of scripture. He would have known about Abraham. And it says this, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Lest thou forget the Lord. More than one time the Bible warns us, the people of Israel, when you become fat, now, not talking about, you know, but it's talking about having more than you need. Having more than you need. When you get fat, you will forget me. This is a principle, and it's true, isn't it? When you have more than you need, you will easily forget me. Even though I gave you everything, and even though all that you have, all the blessings in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was three blessings. There was the wheat and the oil and the wine. It was the grape juice. Those were the raw crops, the crops of the land. They were blessings from God. And he said, when you get fat, you have all these blessings. You'll forget me. Now, I don't know what Jonadab was thinking. Where he got his thoughts. But look at Jonadab, I say, here is a man that understands life. Here's a man that understands the weakness of man. Here's a man that thinks in the realm of principles and laws of life. And principles and laws go far beyond simple direct commands. What was the principle? The principle is that if you get comfortable in the land, you're going to forget me. You get comfortable in the land, you're going to forget me. You live in a tent, you won't be attached to this world. You'll be thinking more of heaven. Now, let's think about that a minute. You say, boy, that's really crazy. But remember what God said. What did God say? He said, and I hope you don't misinterpret what I'm saying and don't understand it, but what did God say? Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. What is he saying? He's saying, Jonadab got it right. Jonadab knew how to raise a godly family. And you know what? He did. He did. I was wondering if he was thinking about Noah. The Bible tells us Noah got off the ark and he planted a vineyard. Oh, you don't plant a vineyard to get drunk. But I tell you what, if you don't have a vineyard, you won't get drunk. Isn't that right? You don't plant a vineyard, you won't get drunk. Noah, a righteous man, one of the great righteous men of the Bible, planted a vineyard and he got drunk. Oh, don't plant a vineyard. You aren't planting temptation in your backyard. You say, boy, that's going overboard. Was it? Was it? Now let me ask you, what was God's verdict? Let's not go by what man's verdict is, and let's not think of how you think. Let's think about what God said. Did God commend Jonadab? Did he commend his descendants? Did he? Yes. Did he produce a godly seed? Yes. Were there many godly seeds in the Old Testament? No. Now I think common sense says, wait a minute! We got something here. Wait a minute, here's an answer. We better listen up. Better not listen to the skeptics of the hour. Better not listen to people who think they know everything and have never done anything in the area of raising a godly seed. Let's listen to God. Let's see an example. And as I thought about this, I said, you know, maybe that's it. Jonadab understood that life was far more than do's and don'ts. Life is about principles that are taught in the Bible. Principles that aren't commands, but principles that are eternal. Principles that teach great truths that are beyond a mere don't do this and don't do that. Now, it was expressed in a don't do this and a don't do that. But you can't find in the Bible, don't build a house. It was also obvious that Jonadab, the most important thing in his life, was a godly seed. The other thing that is obvious is Jonadab had a sense of life and the issues of life and the dangers of life and the weakness of man. And for the day in which he lived and the people, the land where he lived, he put it together. And he says, our family's not doing that. And he says, our family's not going to do that. And praise the Lord, the kids didn't say, but everybody else is doing that. The kids didn't say, hey, Dad, you're crazy. The kids didn't say, the Bible doesn't give that command. You know what I'm saying? You see, it takes more intimate knowledge of God to understand the principles of life. A shallow knowledge of God only can understand direct commands and even bucks at them. Do you hear what I just said? An intimate knowledge of God in spiritual things looks at life from the laws of principles. A much shallower view of life is going around saying, show that me in black and white. I found out that even if he could show it to people in black and white, they aren't going to believe it and they aren't going to follow it. Because they don't want to please God. They don't want to obey God. They want to have an excuse to live the way they want. And here we have, as I understand it, a man who had a deep relationship with God, who understands the principles of life, saw the dangers of life, understood the weakness of man, understood the directions of society. You know, I found out, and I wish I was a better dad. But you know, when the problem comes, it's too late. When the problem comes, it's too late. It's too late. You got to be able to see it before it comes. You got to see it before it takes root and destroys a heart and mind and life. Got to see it ahead of time. That's what Jonadab said. He could see things from a distance. He understood the principles of the Bible. Do you understand the principles of the Bible? Do you ever take note at the direction our culture is taking? I find most people are in oblivion. Culture's going that direction. And as long as there's not some direct, specific command in the Bible not to do such and such, they just keep following the culture. Culture going down, 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 down. Oh, you know, I don't see a verse about that. You know, I don't see a verse about that. There's no direct command in the Bible. You know, don't dye your hair purple. Whatever. Therefore, I'll do what I'm allowed to. You know, I'm just being facetious now, but that's the facts. And so, how about a young person? How about a young person? Are you one of those kind of people? I mean, if this was your dad, what would you do? Are you part of the now generation that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do? There's nobody going to be wiser than me who's going to see the principles that I don't see. I'm not going to trust them. I'm not going to believe them. You know, my opinion is just as good as anybody's. So we find that not only was there a close walk of the Father with God, that he could see these principles, that they were valuable principles. But we see a close walk of the children with God. That they could say that life is ruled by godly principles. And so, they listened to the voice of authority. They listened and respected their father. They understood that life goes beyond commands. It goes to the very heart of the issues of life and our relationship with God. Can you see the heart of Jonadab? I want my family, I want my children to stay close to God. We aren't going to have anything in our family that allows an inroad. That's a part of the weakness of our day. That will break down that godly seed. Yes, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That goes far beyond commands. That's all about understanding the laws of life, the principles of life, understanding the sin nature, understanding the world is ruled by the devil, and that we are near the end of the age, and the spirit of the Antichrist is in the air. All the more that we ought to be people like Jonadab. I was thinking of that great Psalm, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing, the blessing of God. It's an amazing thing, the curse of sin, how it goes from generation to generation to generation. But it's also an amazing thing, the blessing of God that goes from generation to generation to generation. Amazing thing. Life is about the godly seed. You summarize life into that principle of the godly seed, and you will see things a lot differently. A lot differently. Jonadab looked at life from the view of the godly seed. Now let me put it this way. That is God's view of life. That is God's view of life. And that young person who's all about them and me, 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 and me, 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 and what I think and what I want to do, I tell you what, they have very little understanding about the godly seed. That adult who reflects the Israelites of his day that don't hear. They don't have ears to hear. Are in great contrast to Jonadab and his descendants, who more than heard, but had such an intimate walk with God that lived by the very principles of life and saw the spiritual principles in everything that was in the Word of God. He was looking not how much sin he could get away with, but how far away he could get from sin. He was interested and how close they could get to God. Not how close they could get to the world and still pretend to have a relationship with God. The godly seed. I trust you'll spend many hours thinking about this tremendous passage of Scripture. An amazing, amazing statement of God. Something that is so very, very, very foreign in our world and foreign in young families and in married couples. So foreign, so different than what God's plan is. Maybe in your spirit tonight, maybe your spirit has been checked. Your spirit, it really reveals, instead of an obedient spirit, a resistant spirit, a rebellious spirit, been checked. by the Spirit of God tonight. By the wonderful example of Jonadab. Let's pray.